Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Low Attendance Day. I'm just kidding. Memorial Day, a lot of people traveling. Good time to be out and about. So we are glad that you are here with us today. Want to remind you there on your pews, you'll see some little red pew pads there. I want to invite you to sign your name and check relevant boxes and pass on down the row. And when you get done with it, slide it all the way back. So and get that way we'll know that you've been with us today. Our children are not here, most of them. They have gone to children's camp up in Camp Canoga or at Canoga Conference Center in Hendersonville. They're having a great time. They've got a few little afternoon kind of showers thing, but by and large, having a great time up there. As you came in, you might have noticed some clothing racks there. There was a notice went out this week, but that's for gently used ladies' professional clothing. One of our groups is gathering those to distribute, so if you have any questions, you can check with me after the service today. But that's why those racks are there. Also, as you came in, you saw a table that had 144 envelopes. It didn't really have 144. It says 144, but there's not 144 left. That's the fundraiser that Jeff was telling us about a couple weeks ago for the youth mission trip to New York City. And speaking of Jeff, they will be back this week. So I know some of you have been following through the blog and through Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff, but I want you to continue to remember them in your prayers as well. Tomorrow being Memorial Day, church office will be closed. There will be no Bible study group, right? And no book club, correct?
June 4th.
Move to June 4th, okay? Very good. I think that's all the announcements I have. Your calendar of events is there in your order of service, part of your order of service. You can look at that. Let me know if you have any questions about that. We want to welcome our guests. If you're with us today and you're a guest for the first time with us, we want to give you some information about College Park and the ministries here. These fine-looking ushers are going to come to the front, and then they're going to return back down the aisle. And if you're a guest, just slip up your hand so they can see where you are. You'll find in there quite a bit of information. Hopefully that's helpful information about the ministries of College Park. And if you don't mind, be sure and sign that pew pad so we can follow up with you to see if you have any questions. So again, notice where our guests are. If you're a member here, be sure and greet them at some point during the service this morning. So again, glad everyone's here. It is Memorial Day weekend. As such, we want to pause and have a Memorial Day observance. We feel like that is important for us. We've said a couple times before, when I went down for Mark and Florence's, Mark Matthews and his wife Florence wedding down in Columbus, Mississippi, we found out that Columbus, Mississippi claims to be the original site where flowers were placed on the grave, which began the Memorial Day tradition. After coming home, we found out there's a lot of other cities in the United States that claim to be the original site. But we're going to go with Columbus just because we've been there and talked with those people, and they're really nice people. So the idea, of course, and you know the history and the tradition of it, is to remember those who gave their life and served our country through military service. So we certainly want to recognize those who have been a part of service to our country. We understand today is about those who have died, but we feel it's important to take every opportunity that we can to recognize those who have served our country in military service. So we want to ask those of you that have served in our military in any capacity or in the military auxiliaries in any capacity, if you would please stand up. Thank you very much for your service. We can't say it often enough, but we certainly want to try. And we also remember those, as you see in your order of service, in memory of our POWs and those missing in action. For a lot of families, they don't have the closure They don't have the closure of having a loved one come home in whatever form. And for them, we pray for extra bit of grace and peace for those families, realizing that they haven't had that chance to have closure. So we certainly want to remember them as well. We're going to do a few other things as part of our Memorial Day observance. And so I want to ask Mary if she would come now and lead us in the next section as we remember those who've passed on. Ask if you would please to stand and to bow your head. We will observe a few moments of silence in remembrance, and then I will lead us in prayer. Would you stand, please? Gracious Father, it's with a heart of gratitude that we remember those who have served our country, many of which who have paid the ultimate price, giving their own life in service of our country and the freedoms that we enjoy. We pray that with the sense of gratitude comes action, to be sure and speak a word of gratitude to those who are still with us, who served our country so faithfully. Father, we also pray that we would remember the families of those who lost loved ones in military service, as well as those who have not had the closure of saying goodbye to sons and daughters who are prisoners of war and or missing in action. We pray that in all of this, Father, we would understand what it means to love a neighbor, love a friend, love a countryman, enough to give your life in service to this country and the principles that it was founded upon. Father, we thank you for this chance to be together and to pause and remember. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you please remain standing for the playing of taps? Thank you. You may be seated. The 23rd Psalm is often referred to as the soldier's prayer, partly because it was given to them in New Testaments as well as Psalms that were included when they began their military service for soldiers in years past, but also because many have claimed it, many soldiers have claimed it through the years as something that they memorized to give them peace in troubled times. And so we read it this morning in that spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As we transition into a time of worship, I want to challenge you in that same spirit of remembering. Remember the nature of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we begin now in our time of worship.
Pray with me, please. Our God, we come this morning because you sit on your throne. Lord, in times of chaos, Lord, in times of peace, Lord, in every circumstance, you are still on your throne. And you're here with us. And we come this morning to worship you, knowing that you lead us through dark valleys and walk with us in sunshine. Knowing that our table is overflowing because of you. And so, Lord, as we come to this place this morning, Lord, help us to meet with you here. Lord, to know your presence, to give you honor and glory and praise. Lord, let our worship this morning bring you honor and glory and praise. Lord, we love you. We look forward to hearing your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture today is Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we read from your word of your mighty acts, of your mighty power, of your strength, of your compassion, of your guidance, of your deliverance. And Father, it humbles us because we realize we are the recipients. So, Father, now we pray that we would lift our hearts to you in obedience and submission to what you have and what you desire for us. And much of that includes what you would have us do in compassion and service to other people. And Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, our hearts are tuned in to those who have lost their lives in service to our country, but we are also cognizant of the fact that people lose their lives every day in service to their fellow men and women, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. And so we pray that we would be faithful. Faithful for the task that you've set before us. For the people we are to bless in your name. For the journey that we are to take individually and corporately as believers and as your church. Father, for the missions that you place before us, both personally and corporately, that we would be strong and excited and joyful in the path that you've set before us to reach out and to touch and to bless others in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, it's that name that we claim for our source of strength and power and direction. And we pray now that as we, your children, continue in our time of worship, that you would bring to mind to us those ministries, those things, those actions that we are to take this week. And we pray that as we journey through the week, Father, that you would give us a sense of joy in the journey, but also, Father, a sense of accomplishment, not for personal pride's sake, but for the glory, your glory. Father, it's all these things we ask in the name of your precious Son, and for his sake, amen.
We worship and adore you, glory.
May we pray. O Lord, on this weekend, as we honor those who sacrificed all so that those that we that they defended might enjoy peace and freedom, we're reminded of the sacrifice of our Son, of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who died that we may live. We ask your help for us this week in honoring this sacrifice. Let us live the lives you would have us live. Let us accept the gifts in Jesus' name. Please accept these gifts in Jesus' name. Lead us to use these gifts to advance your will on earth, to carry out the mission you've assigned to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, in my errands I had to run Friday, I found myself out on the northwest corner of Winston-Salem, Forsyth County, so I figured this is a good day to go eat at Ted's. Ted's Kickin' Chicken, otherwise known as Theodore's Fine Dining, right? Yeah, yeah, that's it. And when I was there, I ran into a couple of guys that I know that work at the cemetery next to our house down there, and I was talking with them, asking if they were getting geared up for Memorial Day weekend, and they said, oh, yeah, we've got a bunch of scouts coming in first thing in the morning to put out. It was like 3,000, 4,000. I don't remember how many flags they said they had to put out at the cemetery. And as I talked with them, I said, well, good for you guys, man. I mean, and good for the scout leaders that they're teaching these fellas and girls what it's about, what Memorial Day weekend is about. It's not just a day when furniture goes on sale. I mean, you know, there's a deeper meaning to what we're celebrating this weekend. And as I thought on that, you know, Memorial Day is about remembering. It's about reflecting. That's what it's about. We remember the sacrifice of those who gave their lives for something bigger than themselves, for freedom, for its various forms of expressions through our relatively short existence as a nation. You know, we use the phrase, "In God we trust," many times for kind of a rally cry for nationalism and even for rationalization of some unchristian behaviors, quite honestly. And yet there is a real sense that America, God shed his grace on thee. So, if we want to be responsible in living out that freedom and the grace that God has so richly blessed us with, then I personally feel like it's time for us. And when I say us, I'm talking about us individually, but I'm also talking about us as in the church, to recognize the value of remembrance. We have trouble remembering sometimes, don't we? You know, psychiatrists tell us that when you can't remember things, then you're trying to remember too much. And my response is, well, I must have a lot on my mind then because there are days where I can't remember what I had for breakfast. You know, I mean, but when we're trying to remember so much, maybe we need to simplify, reprioritize. You know, life gets noisy. I understand that. But yet that's not an excuse. We need to remember the things that are most important. This morning, I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you. And it's organized around 3 points. The first one is, bring to remembrance. The second one is, for a memorial before God. The third one is, remember the sacrifice of others. On the first one, bring to remembrance. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7, it says, remember the days of old, consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. You see, the youth of our culture have not seen all that the elders in our culture have seen. One of the things that I love about College Park, and I've said this 100 times probably, but I mean it. One of the things I love about College Park, and there's a lot of things, but this thing is there are so many generations here. There's so many generations in this congregation. That is not the case in a lot of churches these days. They target certain demographics, and that's really all they care to attract. But College Park is here from age 1 month to 101 years, okay? And we're here together, and we're learning from each other. Part of the joyful experience is of the prayer partner ministry and other ministries is having a chance for those who have life wisdom to pass it on, to share those experiences, even if it's hurt and hardship, those type of things to where our young people can learn from that, so our young couples can learn from that, so that our young couples with new babies can learn they're not the only one that's ever experienced what they're feeling right now. You know, those little things that we pass on from generation to generation. And you see, God understood all of that. That's the reason he put us together in community. He wants us to learn from one another. God understood the trap of living in the present with no regard for the past. He did not want Israel, his children, to forget the miracles that he performed while he was delivering them from captivity in Egypt. He didn't want them to forget the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan, all those enemies that they were afraid of that he helped them conquer. He did not want them to forget what he had done, nor did he want them to forget him and who he was, who he is. Bring to remembrance. He wanted them to remember their deliverance from Egypt in Exodus 13:3. Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast." Now that seems like a random sentence to throw at the end of that powerful statement, but there's a purpose in it. We'll get to it in just a minute. Because you see, the celebration of Passover was to remind them of their deliverance. There was a festival that was created, a feast that was created to remind them of God's actions. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 18, he says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt." Chapter 15, verse 15, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you these commands today." He said they were not to be afraid of their enemies. They were not to be, they needed to understand God had defeated their enemies and would continue to do so. They were to remember his deliverance. The Passover was a constant reminder from generation to generation. He also wanted them to remember his guidance and protection. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." You see, the wilderness journey was to prove whether or not they would serve the Lord, to prove whether they'd learned anything. Are they going to serve the Lord? It was a time of testing. Yes, it was. But God said, even though it's a time of testing, I'm also going to provide for you during that time. I'm going to provide for you. They must remember how he cared for them and provided for them in the wilderness. He's reminded that, or that he reminds them of that in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, verse 18, where he continues to talk about his provision for them. He says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." They're reminding the people, look, God is your Lord. He is your provider. He provides for you the means by which you provide for your family. He provides all that you have and all that you are. And as such, he would like for you to remember that. And then later in the development, he says, you know, "We also want you to give a portion of that back." God says, this is the way it's to be. You are to give the tithe. Why are you to give the tithe? Not because he's an Indian giver. Not because he said, "Here, have all these blessings. Oh, wait, I want it back." No, he says, I want you to remember all that I've blessed you with, and to help you remember that, I want you to return a tithe, literally a tenth of all that I've blessed you with, so that you will remember the source of your blessing. It's not optional. It is how we are to remember the blessings that God sends our way. We don't tithe so that God will bless us. I've heard that taught. I've yelled at the TV to my point where my wife says, just change the channel. Just change, let it go, man. Just let it go. But there are those that teach you tithe so you can get more. I mean, and that is so far from Scripture. We don't tithe so that God will bless us. We tithe because he's already blessed us. Amen? That's why we tithe. It is to help us remember. It was what was put in place to remember. And later in Joshua 1, verse 13, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, "The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land." What's he talking about? He's talking about peace. He's talking about peace in the land. And peace is one of the most blessed gifts that we can give anybody. It really is. If we honor God by loving him with all that we have, all that we are, and we love our neighbor as ourself, if we do those things, the natural result of that is a relationship with other people that's more peaceful. We've lost that. Our culture today is driven by hate and envy rather than love and peace. You know, and it's tragic. It's tragic because not only do we have conflicts within our neighborhoods, but we have them from nation to nation. Because we forgot the proper order. Love the Lord your God with all that you have and all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, those are the greatest. Those are the greatest commands. If everything else had to fall under that, remember those two. And we've forgotten that. God says, remember. Remember the order. Leviticus 26:6. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. God has a plan. He has a will for his people. He promised he will provide for us. But he's put in place things to remember. Bring to remembrance. Second, for a memorial before God. It's helpful to us because God knows us. He put this into place. It's helpful to stop the ordinary pattern of our lives and put little earmarks, put memorials in place. Why? So that when we see him the next time, we'll remember back. And it'll remind us of what we are to do or to be thankful for, or both. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, this is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He goes on in verse 17. Celebrate the Festival of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Again, we're talking about the Passover, this unleavened bread, you know, with the random verse that was there a few minutes. That's what they're talking about here. The Passover feast. It was to be observed from generation to generation. Until when? Forever. It's to be celebrated. It is to be remembered for what it is. It was God's deliverance of his children from Egyptian bondage. He took them out of bondage into freedom. And in that day, Israel literally became a nation. And God wants his people to remember that. That's why it was put in place. That's the first of those memorials. Joshua 4, verse 7. Let's read this one. Joshua 4, 7 says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are a memorial to the people of Israel forever. What is he talking about? When they got ready to cross the Jordan, as part of what they were doing there, they set up these stones as like an altar, as a memorial, so that when they remembered those, when they passed those, when other people saw them, they would know that something incredibly special, a miracle had happened in this place. And God wants his people to remember those times of deliverance. Remember those times. You say, well, that's all Old Testament. How about New Testament? Here's a New Testament reference. Mark chapter 14, verse 9. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What is this? This, in context, this is a story about the lady who put the expensive ointment on Jesus' feet. Do you remember that story? And then wiped it off. Here's a woman who expressed her love for Jesus, and she was ridiculed for it. Some thought it was a waste of money. You know, we could have taken what that ointment cost and fed the poor. Well, and Jesus quickly defended her actions. And not only that, but he memorialized her for it. He said, remember this, I will not always be with you face to face. You see, there is no insignificant deed done for the Lord. If your motivation is to serve God, if your motivation is to give it for the Lord's sake, there's nothing that's insignificant. That's the lesson here. If you do it for my sake, if you do it as an offering, as you do it for a blessing to me, it's not insignificant. It's always significant. Here's another New Testament reference, Acts chapter 10, verse 4. Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." You see, Cornelius had fasted and prayed for God's will. And God sent an angel telling him what to do. And Cornelius was filled with wonder at this whole experience. And the angel instructed him what he was to do. And through faith, Cornelius obeyed and his household was saved. The saving of his whole house. And this was in sense, this was kind of like the Gentile Pentecost. Now, it didn't represent 50 days of anything, but yet the Holy Spirit was given to a Gentile house church and to the Gentile world. And God says, remember that. Here is a man in his faithfulness. And the result of that was incredible. Remember that. Bring to remembrance for a memorial before God, dedicated, given as a blessing to God. And thirdly, God knew that we would need to stop and remember the sacrifice of others. Think about your mother and your father. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You'll recognize this one. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving to you. We should remember our parents with honor. I understand your parents may not have been the best in the world. You may not have agreed with them. As you compared your mom and dad to others, you may have thought, I wish I'd had that mom. No, no, no. God's saying, remember your parents with honor. Interestingly enough, it's the only command given to Moses on Mount Sinai that comes with a promise attached. Did you know that? Honor your father and your mother, what? That you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It has a promise, granted. Some parents may seem to be out of touch. In the 9 o'clock service, when I said that, the back row with the teenagers back there, like, well, you know, a few eye rolls, yeah. So your parents may seem to be out of touch to you, but God knew that the experiences of the lives that they have lived, the wisdom that they have gained, would be valuable to us. So he says, honor them. Honor them. Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. Later in chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 25, may your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Be joyful. A parent's pleasure or a parent's grief many times is based on the actions and the expectations of their children. Now, I'm not talking about performance-based acceptance here. I'm talking about just pure life activity. And you as a parent, you know that when your child brings you joy, but when your child can also bring you uncontrollable grief. A father and mother are pleased when a young man or a young woman grow up to be honest and upright. All the other accomplishments are overshadowed by that quality of character. God says, honor your parents. They sacrifice for you. Remember their sacrifice. Talk about honoring the sacrifice of others. We could have a long list here this morning. I mean, we could talk about remembering the daily sacrifice of those who are in law enforcement, those who are in firefighters, those who are paramedics, those who serve in all different capacities within our culture, in the medicine field and with social services, all of those who serve so faithfully daily. And so we are thankful and we do remember them. But I want to go back to where we started. Remember the service and the sacrifice of our fellow countrymen and women in their service to us through the military. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, give to everyone what you owe them. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then give revenue. If respect is due, give respect. If honor is due, then give honor. Someone asked me after 9 o'clock service, what do you think that's really saying? I said, I think it's self-explanatory, but let me tell you my take on it. If someone is owed anything, then put your pride aside and give that. If you are capable, give what is due to other people. Bless people. That's what Jesus did. He blessed people. And in doing so, it was a blessing to his Father. Bless people. It's our duty, I believe, to pay tribute to those who've put their lives on the line intentionally for the principles, to defend the principles that we hold so dearly and the freedoms that we take for granted so freely. You know, our American service personnel have made us proud to be Americans. So we should thank them on every occasion. Amen? We should thank them. And we should not take them for granted any more than we take other positions of service in our community for granted. We should thank all of them. We should thank all of them. Be the kind of person that is constantly delivering gratitude. Be that person. And for those who have paid the ultimate price, we owe them more gratitude perhaps than we're capable of generating. And so we trust God to generate that within us. And of course, no discussion of sacrifice would matter were it not for the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we remember the sacrifice of fellow countrymen and women for the preservation of the freedoms that we enjoy today, let us also never forget the sacrifice of our Savior, who offers us the true freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin that is possible only because God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the deliverance that you offered to us. While we were yet in our sin, you gave your Son for us. Father, we pray that in our own sinfulness, we would recognize the need for a Savior, for someone to deliver us from captivity to sin. And we would surrender everything we are and everything we have, recognizing it all as a gift from you. We would surrender it back to you. God, we pray in these moments that you would touch our hearts. Help us to see the point of sin in our own lives. Father, allow us the courage and strength to confess that, to turn away from it. Father, and trust that your strength is sufficient for the journey ahead, because we know that it is. Help us to be people who deliver gratitude, because you delivered it first to us, gave us the capacity to love and to forgive. For it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, if you do not know Him, this morning is your morning. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing a hymn. And as we sing that hymn, I'll be here at the front. Be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. The altar will be open if you want to come here and pray. Whatever your decision is in regard to your salvation, today is the day you need to make that. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, I have been saved, but maybe I'm just not walking that kind of that pathway of gratitude. Today would be a great day to settle that and put that all before God and ask for His forgiveness and His guidance. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, I highly recommend it. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share those with you. Whatever your decision is, we welcome you to come and share that, even as we stand and sing together now. Thank you. response, I encourage you to greet one another. Introduce yourself to someone maybe that you don't recognize. Take the chance that they've been a member here for 20 years and you've never introduced yourself to them. So greet one another, encourage one another as we go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much that you placed us in community to learn from one another, to encourage one another, to gain wisdom from one another. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, that that would be what we share. We would share with our community the love that we feel that comes from you and is expressed in our actions one to another. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.